If you get the product right, if you get the offering right, if you can speak to that target market and you get the messaging dialed, nothing beats it. And every single successful founder that I've spoken to, they've worked out how to find product market fit.
I'm Amy Porterfield, ex-corporate girl turned CEO of a multi-7-figure business. But it wasn't all that long ago that I lacked the confidence, the budget, and the time to focus on growing my small but mighty business. Fast forward past many failed attempts and lessons learned, and you'll see the business I have today. One that changes lives and gives me more freedom than I ever thought possible. One that used to only exist as a daydream. I created the Online Marketing Made Easy podcast to give you simple, actionable, step-by-step strategies to help you do the same. If you're an ambitious entrepreneur or one in the making who's looking to create a business that makes an impact and a life you love, you're in the right place, friend. Let's get started. Your lead magnet should be attracting subscribers to your list like flies to honey. And if it's not, or if you're yet to put together a lead magnet that does the heavy lifting of list building for you, I have something that I think is really going to help. I put together a free lead magnet launch checklist that lays out every vital step for ideating, creating, and promoting your lead magnet. Whether you're starting from scratch or troubleshooting an existing lead magnet, this checklist is literally what my team and I follow to keep things simple, structured, and moving forward without feeling totally overwhelmed. From choosing your topic to all the web pages you need to actually create the lead magnet and where to promote it for the best results. This start to finish checklist is all yours for free when you go to amyporterfield.com/checklist. That's amyporterfield.com/checklist. Now back to the show. Well, hey there, friend. Welcome back to another episode of Online Marketing Made Easy. So just to give you a little behind the scenes of how I do my podcasting, and if you have a podcast, you might do it this way as well. But when I interview a guest, I tend to wait to record the intro and the outro till after I record the guest so I can get a kind of good sense for where the interview is going to go. And I have to tell you, I just completed one of my most favorite interviews, and it was surprising because I don't know my guest well, but every time I hear him speak, I'm just enamored by the fact that every word he shares has value. And I can't say that about myself or a lot of other people that I have come into contact with. There's just no fluff when it comes to my guest. And I kind of hung on every word. I also took notes because I thought I cannot forget this and I want to share some of this with my team. That's how valuable as an entrepreneur, I felt this interview was. And I'm not bragging about myself and my interview. I'm actually bragging about my guest. And his name is Nathan Chan. And he's the mastermind behind the brand Founder, F-O-U-N-D-R. So no E, Founder. It's a platform that started as a digital magazine, and you might know it as a digital magazine, but it's actually exploded into an entire ecosystem tailored specifically for entrepreneurs like you and me. I'll let Nathan kind of unpack what the brand looks like today, but it's pretty impressive what he's created. He's going to share some lessons that he's learned along the way of building this mega brand, but what's unique about Nathan is Founder, that started as a digital magazine, is a platform where he interviewed founders of companies. So multimillionaires, billionaires, you're going to hear in this interview, he's interviewed over 100 billionaires. I don't know anyone else who can say that. And so we're going to talk about what he's learned from interviewing mega successful founders, but also some of the challenges he had of building this business that he has today. And I think my most favorite part is he's going to share some secrets that he has for how to do masterful interviews. So if you have a podcast or want a podcast and you want to be a better interviewer, which I absolutely do want to get better at interviewing people, he's going to share some lessons he's learned along the way. And I think you're going to find them very valuable. But like I said, I think every word he says holds weight, which made this interview extra special. And it's not even that long, but it's packed with so much value that I think you're going to walk away with, whoa, I might need to listen to that one more time. That's how valuable I felt everything he shared was. So you be the judge. So I won't keep gushing on and on. I just got off of the interview a minute ago, and I found that his journey is one of resilience and creativity and relentless pursuit of a vision. This conversation has it all. So I won't make you wait any longer. Let's jump into our conversation with Nathan Chan. Hey there, Nathan. Thanks so much for joining us today.
Thanks so much for having me, Amy. It's an absolute pleasure to be here, and it's good to be on the other side of the microphone. It feels like not that long ago we spoke about you and your journey and your incredible book that you launched, and yeah, it's been amazing.
That was such a benefit to me to be able to talk to you about that, so I so appreciate it. But I remember when we did that interview, I'm like, I gotta have that guy on my show. He's cool. He's got a story. I wanna flip the script. So I'm really excited that we got to do this. And a lot of my listeners will know who you are, and they'll definitely know Founder. But for those that don't, and they might not know your story, so can we just start there? Like, take me back to the inception of Founder. How did this come about? Why were you inspired to start it?
Yeah, so pretty much about 10 years ago now, I was working in a job in IT support, and I started hearing stories about friends of friends starting these online businesses with no skills or experience whatsoever. And I was just genuinely curious, how are these people starting these businesses? And they were doing really, really well, doing all sorts of things like, you know, e-commerce or starting an affiliate website, or perhaps starting information product business, selling courses, or even starting a software company. And I became like quite curious, and I started to speak to people. And what happened was I kind of started off as an investigative journalist, where I was like, how the hell are these people doing it? So what I did is I started this little magazine, this digital magazine. It wasn't even called Founder at the time. It was actually called something else, Key to Success. And I got sued for that name. And it's a whole nother story if you want to go into it. But I started interviewing people about how they started these online businesses. And podcasting wasn't that big back then. And all I did was tell their story through the magazine on the side, in my day job, just for fun, just because I was genuinely curious. And what I found was these stories are incredible. I want to share them with the world. And that's how Founder was born. And it started off as just this little magazine. I made $5.50 on the first day. And now it's grown into this platform where we really try and help and support entrepreneurs accelerate their growth and future through entrepreneurship. And we're building a platform where we want to be a global leader that really supports and creates entrepreneurs. And, you know, we have a course platform, we have a coaching platform, we have a whole media platform, and we've interviewed some of the greatest founders of our generation. In the first 4 months of starting Founder, I got an interview with Richard Branson, and that really kind of shifted where I took the brand. And it's been a wild ride, Amy. There's a lot. Yeah. So
I bet I have so many questions because I want to talk about the different verticals that you have in your business now. But before I get there, what do you think were some of the biggest challenges when you were first starting out that you had to overcome? What were some things that really got in the way, whether it be your mindset or strategies or your connections, or what was it?
Yeah. So first of all, it would have definitely been imposter syndrome. And I know this is something that you talk about a lot, right? And I think we've all been there where you don't feel worthy, right? And it's just like, who are you to be able to put out a magazine where you know nothing about design, you know nothing about entrepreneurship even, or publishing or editorial. And it was just this crazy thing where my partner at the time, I was working on this magazine for a while and I was doing these interviews, but it took me about 6 months to get the magazine out. And I said to her, like, do you think that if I keep working the way I'm working, this magazine or whatever will become something, like I could potentially go full time on it or whatever? And she said, no, I don't believe that. And it's because I was so afraid that I wasn't really working on it that hard, and I was just kind of very casual with it. And when she said to me no, that lit a fire under me. And it was only when I launched that first edition and I made $5.50 and I had 2 subscribers to this digital magazine that I'm the kind of person that if I say I'm going to do something, I do it. And these people sign up for a monthly subscription, Amy, and I didn't even know what I was doing. So I couldn't let those people down. So I was like, okay, well, now I've got to do the next edition. And that's what kept me going, putting myself in a place where I was forced to actually keep putting out that magazine. And it's kind of like how you talk about the burn the boats concept, which we talked about in our interview, where I had no choice. I literally just had to keep putting it out, and it just compounded, right? You know, in the first edition of the magazine, I didn't even have a successful person on the front cover. It was this stock image. It was super embarrassing. Reid Hoffman talks about if you're not embarrassed at the first version of your product, you've launched too late. I was so embarrassed. It's a joke. If anybody wants to see, you can go to founder.com/magazine, and the first edition is up there. It's so embarrassing. You can see the cover. It is terrible. But, you know, I just had to work through it, and just burning the boats, your concept really kind of just forced me to work through it. Even though I felt like an imposter, even though I didn't feel worthy, even though I didn't know what I was doing, I just didn't want to let people down that subscribed to this magazine. I didn't want to be that person that they didn't get a magazine next month. And that was a big thing.
This is big because someone listening could say it was 2 people. You could have said that this is a failure. That only 2 people have subscribed to this. This isn't going to work. And also that could have been so frustrating that you could have easily said, I'm not going to do this, or I'm going to put this on hold. And the reason I bring this up is a lot of my students will get 2 buyers on a webinar. And they're like, Amy, do you think that I should just say, give them their money back and just say, I'm going to go back to the drawing board? How did $5 get you to go to the next edition? Like, how did you not just give up? I think most people would have.
Yeah, it's really crazy because I never forget as well, like, it was the first day we launched. It was March 5th, 2013. I'll never forget it. And I got home from a long day at work, and I was living with a housemate at the time, a best friend. And we went down to the fish and chip shop down the road. And his partner, now wife, we walked down to the local fish and chip shop. And I said, I've launched this magazine. I was really excited. And they said, oh, how much you make? And I said, oh, it's early days. I made $5.50. And she laughed, my best mate's partner, she laughed and said, oh, is that all? And I was like, well, it's not too bad. Like, it's a start. And honestly, Amy, even though it wasn't that much amount of money, I just remember thinking to myself, I'm having so much fun. This is what I was born to do. And that's why I started Founder, to find work that I enjoyed, but also to share these stories with the world and build a platform. I didn't know it at the time, but I ended up building this small seeds of a platform that was going to be something massive in the future. And yeah, what kept me going was just the energy of just having fun and just like enjoying the work, and then not wanting to let people down. Even though if it was 2 subscribers, that's just me as a person. I just didn't want to let people down. And I know you might be thinking, okay, well, you know, not everybody's like that, but I love the concept as well of throwing your hat over the fence. So if you talk about someone launching a course, if you could sell a course, pre-sell it, and then you have to deliver it, right? Like, throw your hat over the fence. When you want to climb a fence and you're wearing a hat, you throw your hat over the top, and then you have to go and get your hat. So it's a similar concept, right? And I'm a big, big fan of that when it comes to pre-launch of launching any business, whether it's a SaaS business, whether it's a course business, an information product business, whether it's an e-commerce business. You look at Kickstarter. All Kickstarter is pre-launch, right? You're putting something out there, seeing if people are interested, and then seeing how many people buy, and then you have to fulfill it. And it's the same concept. But for me, it was like, it came back to the passion and just not wanting to let others down and just throwing my hat over the fence. I just had to deliver.
I love that you said that, because in my program, Digital Course Academy, I teach people to sell the course and then create it, because that fire that under your feet, it does something to you. And I think that's exactly what you're talking about. That is so powerful. Some people think like, that's irresponsible. I should have it all figured out. I should have all the modules created and recorded and all of that. You don't have to do it that way. And I really love that you're encouraging, throw that hat over the fence, go get it, and get that fire going. And I think many of us can really respond to that in a positive way. Now, real quick, I want to ask about all these other platforms you've created, or verticals, or whatever you might want to call them. But before I do, how did you make money with a digital magazine? Where does it comes from? Subscriptions? Is that how you make money with it? Got it. And then do advertisers pay you as well, though?
Yeah, we did do some advertising in the early days. But what I worked out was, with a small magazine, a boutique magazine, it's a lot of work. And now the magazine's 100% free. It's lead gen. You know, if people want to know about it, we have over 120 plus editions now. We've still launched it every single month, but it's purely free now. But yeah, back in the day, it was, I didn't get to seven figures, but it was a multiple six figure subscription business in the first couple of years. Yeah.
That's impressive. Definitely. Okay, so what made you decide you wanted to expand? You said you have courses, you've got a podcast. What else? You have coaching, you said?
Yeah, we've got a coaching platform as well. Yes. So pretty much what happened was, after a few years of interviewing all these super successful founders, I launched this podcast. And I was doing the interviews for the magazine, recording them like we're recording right now. And what I thought of is just like this concept of just spinning content, right? How can you get more leverage for your content? And it's quite common and popular now, more than ever, but it wasn't as popular back then. And so I tried to really get a lot of leverage for our content. So one magazine interview was then becoming a podcast interview. Then it was becoming a blog post. Then it was becoming a newsletter article. Then it was becoming social content and clips. And that's how the podcast kind of started. But then I started to take it a step further, where what I was doing was, I realized that a lot of people enjoyed the interviews, and they really loved that person, but perhaps they wanted to go deeper. Like, for example, we interviewed a guy called Nick Shack, who's one of our instructors on our platform, and he spent well over $100 million profitably on Facebook ads, and he would deliver a fantastic interview. But people would want to go deeper. And what I started to realize was, what if I got a lot of these successful people that we were interviewing to give back on our platform and to create a program? And because I didn't want to be the face of it, and I'm always trying to think of founder around how I can build a brand that could stand the test of time without me. And so I started to create other programs. Now, I created the first program, which was an Instagram course. We built the founder Instagram to over, we're at 3.8 million followers now, and it's been an incredible lead gen and growth platform for the brand, and notoriety and all sorts of things, and top of funnel awareness. And that was the first course. And that started from a blog post, just purely wanting to give back, building this platform, helping people. I wrote a blog post quite a few years ago, Amy, on how we got 10,000 Instagram followers in 2 weeks. And that blog post went semi-viral. A lot of people were sharing it. A lot of people were emailing me and saying, hey, Nathan, do you do any consulting? And I was like, well, no, I just want to grow founder. And then they're like, well, do you have a course? And that's how I got into the online learning side of things. And then as time went on, I was like, well, I don't want to just sell and have an Instagram course for everyone. And then I looked at kind of all these other incredible people that we were interviewing, like Nick or Greta, or there's so many incredible instructors. We have hundreds of instructors on our platform. And then I was like, what if I created this platform where we could give back and we could really create a comprehensive platform for getting people to share their proven frameworks to you know, do all sorts of different things that they're actually talking about, but they have to have done it. So like, for example, one of our instructors, Greta, she's launched 4 or 5 multi-million dollar e-commerce brands. She won Shopify Build a Business. I met her for LinkedIn. She lived in Melbourne and she was featured on Tim Ferriss's blog. And we caught up and then, you know, I sent a survey to our email list and I said, hey guys, what do you want to learn? What kind of business do you want to start? And funnily enough, our community said that the most in-demand thing our community wanted to learn was starting an e-commerce business. And then I asked Greta, and then that was like, you know, 4, 5, 6 years ago. And then we launched that program. And then we've launched so many other programs. And then as time has gone on, we've really started to build this platform, this e-learning platform that is super comprehensive, that can really help people start or grow their e-commerce business. And that's what we're really focused in on now, is really helping people start or grow their e-commerce business. And because we have so many programs now, we even have like custom tailored learning journeys, right? Like if somebody logs in, we can ask you all these questions, and depending on where you're at with your e-commerce business, whether you're just starting or whether you're starting to grow it or you've launched your first product, we can give you custom tailored learning and programs for where you're exactly at. So that's a whole other story, Amy, but that's how we got into the online learning side.
Okay, so how do people pay for something like that? Are they paying for individual courses or is it a membership? What does that look like?
So we started out selling individual courses because we didn't have enough programs, I believe, to justify a membership. But we launched a membership program mid-2022. And that's our number one focus. We still sell single courses, but we're getting to a point where we'll just only sell membership. And that's a big focus.
I love that you brought it into a membership. So now people have a whole library of learning depending on what they need. I think that's fantastic. And someone who teaches people to create courses, like, you're speaking my language, my friend. I love everything about that. But I was thinking, you've interviewed so many people, and I want to come from two different sides. I want to ask you a little bit about your experience with interviewing, because you're fantastic at interviews. And then number two, I want to go into some of the lessons you've learned. So let's start there. You've interviewed some incredible people. I mean, to get Richard Branson in the very early days is incredible. So what are some of the big lessons you've learned in your entrepreneurial journey from some of these amazing people that you've interviewed? Can you take like a few little pieces? Like, quick example, when I work for Tony Robbins, one of the biggest lessons I learned from that man is he always says, never reinvent the wheel. You never have to start from scratch. Find someone who's doing what you want, figure out how they're doing it, and use that as a big stepping stone instead of looking at a blank Google Doc. And I've always taken that with me, which is why I love digital courses, because in my opinion, it's your way of not having to start from scratch. So how about you, learning from all these people, what were some of the biggest lessons you learned?
We are online marketers, which means we have unique needs. And there are so many options out there for paid media. Sometimes it's hard to figure out where should you go to reach your ideal audience. But here's the thing. Have you thought about LinkedIn ads? LinkedIn ads empowers marketers with solutions for you and your customers, and it allows you to build the right relationships and drive results and reach your customers with meaningful content. You do not want to sleep on LinkedIn ads. And here's the thing, 79% of content marketers said LinkedIn produces the best results for paid media. I hear it from so many of my peers. And I know you're doing important work. And with that, you want to make sure that the work you're doing is getting in front of the right people. And that's what LinkedIn ads will allow you to do. So let your marketing efforts connect with the right audience and get a $100 credit on your next campaign. So if you go to linkedin.com/Amy, you can get that $100 credit. So that's linkedin.com/Amy. Terms and conditions apply. I know you're focused on marketing and selling your digital products, but I know many of you also have physical products, and I want to talk about Shopify. Shopify is a user-friendly commerce platform that helps you, my dear online entrepreneur, build an online store and make more sales at any stage of your business. They're the force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, Brooklinen, and millions of other businesses at every size. Let me tell you why Shopify is an online entrepreneur's dream platform. It's because it helps turn your browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout experience. In fact, it converts 36% better compared to other leading e-commerce platforms. Yeah, loving that. And I don't know about you, but as an online entrepreneur, my customers' experience, especially when it comes to checking out, is so important. Plus, not only do they support your customers, they support you as the entrepreneur. Shopify's award-winning help desk is there to support your success through every question and every step of the way. There's a reason Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/madeeasy, all lowercase. So go to shopify.com/madeeasy now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. That's shopify.com/madeeasy.
Yeah, there's been so many, Amy. Like, I've done over 500 podcast interviews now. Look, you've done hundreds too, though, right?
I've had not that many, though, because I don't interview as many people. And I have to admit, interviewing makes me nervous sometimes, so I can't wait to kind of get to that side of the questioning too. But yeah, you've done a lot of them.
Yeah. And a big part of it as well is because we have the platform, because we have the magazine as well, people love that front cover. Right? Like, it's pretty special. So, look, there's been so many. It's like this huge blur. But if I could boil it down to a couple, the first one would be I interviewed, it's not a single person. This is a general statement. You look at some of the most successful founders I've interviewed, well, now over 100 billionaires, right? Over 100 billionaires. And there are a couple of common traits that I've noticed. One, they don't do it alone. They are just really now the face of that business, and they have a unique skill around finding incredible people around them. And this is not spoken about enough, right? I think everyone's talking about tactics, how to start, how to grow, this tactic, but not enough people talk about how do you go out and find and hire incredible people that can grow your business for you. Like, I know you have a leadership team, right? I've heard you talk about it. And once you get to a certain stage, even in the early days, you need to surround yourself with incredible people to help you grow your business because you cannot do it all. And all of these super successful founders that I interview, they have not done it alone. And it's so simple, right? But it's not spoken about enough. It is your job as the founder, as the entrepreneur, as the person that is the creator of your business, to go out and find incredible people, do whatever it takes to get the right people on the bus to help you build that business. And they have to match your values. They have to match your culture. They have to match the skills and experience you need. And that's really, really, really hard. And I know that you would have experiences to share. We all do. Everyone has hiring battle scars. Everyone has people challenges, right? That is the number one thing that I know you're in mastermind groups and so am I. And everyone always talks about it behind closed doors, but not enough people speak about it publicly. So the question is, how do you find great people, right? How do you find great people? And I think it really, really, really comes down to just really getting to understand people, right? Really, what makes them tick? What is their motivation? Can you work with this person? Do you have goals that are aligned with theirs? Do they fit your culture, your values, the things that are important to you? I think that when it comes to hunger, that is the number one thing you need to look for in a person. How hungry is that person? When you're looking to hire someone, have they done it before? Have they seen the movie? You know, one of my old mentors, he used to talk about when it comes to hiring, find people that have seen the movie. You know, if you want to...
What does that mean?
So, okay, a great example, right? Like, let's just say you want to build a large following on Instagram and you're looking for a social media manager. It's in your best interest to find somebody that's been part of a team or been the leader in that space of building a large Instagram at another company, right? Have they seen the movie? If you want to build a large email list, or, you know, you want to grow your blog through SEO, let's just say that's an area that you guys want to focus on as your team, look for somebody that's an SEO manager or a content director that has got a proven track record of doing it before. They've seen the movie, right? They don't have to work it out and you know, work it out while you're paying them. And do they have that hunger? I think those are the two really, really critical things. But then also, we've had a lot of success as well finding people in the network. I'm a big, big, big fan of hiring people that follow the founder brand, know the mission and vision, are friends with other team members that are already part of the company, and really look towards their skills and experiences. There is no doubt about it. When you look at hiring someone, you want to look, have they been promoted before? If they've been promoted multiple times, how long do they stay at a place? Do they have strong longevity? All of these different things. But yeah, hiring great people, that is one thing that every single successful founder that I have interviewed, they have a unique skill around identifying talent, really solid with people, and they've been able to build an incredible team around them. Yeah, I'll give you one more. But this is one thing that's very simple, very basic, but often overlooked, and that is product market fit. I think so often people fall in love with their idea that they don't spend enough time making sure that it's something that people really, really, really want, that they will bash down the doors to get it. Something that I've noticed across super successful founders is they spent enormous amounts of time getting the product right. Now, they might pre-sell, like you and I talked about, but they won't open it up and spend a lot of their time on the marketing. They'll test it. They'll keep iterating. They'll keep refining, and they will find a way to create a product that people want so badly that the marketing becomes easy. Because it's far harder to sell a product where the product is average. Like, you can get a good result when the product is average, but your marketing is exceptional, right? And you're an incredible marketer, right? And if you compare it to a fantastic product, but average marketing, the product will fly out the doors. And I saw this with Founder, and I saw this because I started an e-commerce business just for fun with my partner, where, you know, we were teaching a lot of people how to start e-commerce businesses. And I was like, you know what, I want to do this. I want to try this. And my partner, she was working as an accountant and she didn't want to do it anymore. And she said, I want to do what you do. I want to, have the freedom that you have. And so we created this time-marked water bottle. And so it's popularized everywhere. We ended up selling it and it got ripped off everywhere in China. Learned a ton of lessons. But it was this water bottle where basically, there's time indicators on when you should drink. You'll see it everywhere. My friend.
Okay, that started with you?
110%. The plastic one that looks lit with the, it's kind of like frosted design with the gold lid. Yes, but it's been ripped off everywhere. So that started with me. My friend, who was the head of design at a company called 99 Designs. 99 Designs started here in Melbourne. He was the head of design. He designed that bottle. He designed that bottle and we popularized the concept and we used my Instagram strategies to build a seven-figure e-commerce business on the side, and it got ripped off everywhere. But the point of the story is, Amy, we had product market fit. I've never seen it before. When you have a great product, it just flies, whether it's physical product, whether it's a digital product like a course, whether it's a software product, whether it's a service-based business, you know, an agency or a consulting firm. If you get the product right, if you get the offering right, if you can speak to that target market and you get the messaging dialed, nothing beats it. And every single successful founder that I've spoken to, they've worked out how to find product market fit. They've created a painkiller product, not a vitamin. And that is absolutely key.
Painkiller, not a vitamin. I love that analogy. And I know you can't answer this like in a few minutes, but what's a little tip? How do you get started in that area? What do you need to do to make sure? Because you're right, most people want to focus on all of the marketing. And I, you know, my background is content development. So I care deeply about the content, which is what would be selling in a course. So what do you need to do to get that right fit?
Yeah. So It's similar, like as you said, throwing your hat over the fence, selling your course before it exists. That's where you get customer feedback. You got to speak to customers. Not enough people speak to customers. You have to really find out why the hell they're buying it. You have to really find out what makes them stick. You have to really find out if you are solving their problem, if you are solving their pain. And I think another thing when it comes to product development is you have to be prepared to not get it right. And I think people are so afraid of wanting to get it right. They want this perfect product. They want it to be amazing. They want to launch and it just flies off the shelf. And a lot of the time it doesn't, right? You launch a funnel, it doesn't work. You launch a course, it doesn't work. You launch your software business, you launch your physical product, it doesn't work. And it's the market just telling you, just not yet. There's some things you need to get right. And you speak to people and you iterate. And that's like, you know, I was listening to this fantastic interview or kind of video that Alex Hormozi was doing. And he talked about most people, what they do is they launch something and they have this extreme excitement and motivation. And then it doesn't do as well as you think, or, you know, that you go through this tough time. And it's this tough time that you just have to focus. Most people give up. They move to the next thing. They move to the next shiny object. And you just have to focus. You just have to keep chipping away. You have to get obsessed. You have to get hungry on what it is wrong with that product. What is not right? Now, you can get lucky as well. Like, we have incredible students, like student success stories, so many, right? Like, where people have launched and they've made $12,000 on the first day because they did the work up front. But even if you don't do the work up front, you can still find yourself in a position where the product doesn't take off. And that's okay. You just have to keep iterating. You have to keep speaking to your customers. You have to keep trying and testing different messaging. You have to really find out why people aren't buying. So for us, in the case of Healthish, it flew off the shelves. And because it didn't fly off the shelves immediately, but we made, you know, $3,000 to $5,000 in the first 24 hours. And then in the first month, we made close to, you know, $7,000 to $10,000. And then it kind of grew from there. But what I found was the way that we knew that that physical product was going to work was we tested it. We tested it in the market beforehand. Like, you know, we got into Facebook groups. We asked, is this something that people are interested in? We got people to sign up to the wait list. You know, we did everything we could to measure interest. And that's really, really, really important. How can you measure interest before purchasing a ton of stock, right? Because physical products is very different to digital products. But the thing is, you can still measure interest just like you would with a course. You have a wait list. You can launch a webinar. You can pre-sell on that webinar. And then when you're doing the pre-sale, maybe you deliver the course over a live, you know, you do a cohort-based course where you do it live. There's so many different things that you can do to speak to the customer, to test, to measure interest before you launch as well.
I love that you said this idea of measuring interest. I think there's so many different ways you can do it. I think we skip it. It's not easy, and there's other sexier things you might want to do with the marketing, but it's such a crucial step. I also love that you said, when these founders that you've spoken to, they're making it happen, but it's just not yet. It's not working yet. That's when most people jump ship. Have you found that this most successful founders that you've talked to, they're not afraid of it not working just yet? They're not afraid of that messy middle. Would you agree with that?
110%. It has to be an obsession, Amy. Like, and I know, you know, you've had work-life balance challenges. We all have, right? To get to a certain level of success with your business, you have to go through burnout. And unfortunately, I've been through it. And it has to be an obsession. You just can't build something of true worth and significance if it's not an obsession. And every single founder that I've interviewed, it's an obsession. It has to be. Now, you go through stages, right? But you're focusing on your health and fitness or your family, and you have to, because you've got to have balance. And that's why you started the business in the first place, to have that freedom. But sometimes it becomes this obsession, and it has to. And I think because it's an obsession, you'll find a way to make it work.
Most people would not say what you just said, because First of all, this whole hustle mentality has a huge negative connotation, and I get why. I've been in the hustle mentality for many, many years. And also, obsession makes you feel as though you're letting other things go. But one thing I learned with my time with Tony is that you're always focused more so on one thing than another. If you're really, your health is really dialed in, there's another area of your life that might be getting a little bit neglected. And when it comes to building businesses, you are right. I was obsessed for many, many years until it started to really take off and I was able to then kind of even out a little bit. But without that obsession, I would not be talking to you today. So I love that you are bold enough to say that because a lot of people don't want to hear it or agree with it. But I think it's 100% true. So thanks for sharing that.
You're welcome. And just on that, like the hustle culture is an interesting one and it has a bit of a bad stigma to it. I agree. But I think it comes down to situational stage advice. You could listen to Hormozy or somebody, right? And they'll say, you've got to do this. But it depends on what stage you're at. If you're in the early stages of your business, I think situationally, the situational stage advice for you is you've got to pull your finger out and work your butt off. Right? There's no other way around it. But then when you get to a stage where you've built up your business and you have a team around you, then perhaps it's not healthy. You want to focus on your family or something else. It's not healthy, right? So you can't do it forever, but it depends what situation you're in.
Oh, amen. Amen. Such sage advice. Okay, let's flip it and talk about your incredible expertise in interviewing people. I've been interviewed by you, so I can say this firsthand. But one, I'm not a natural interviewer. I really have to pace with you. As you can see, I'm taking notes right now and I'm not just doing it for show. Like I want to make sure I come back to something. I feel like it's really natural to you. So for those of us who interviewing someone else doesn't come natural, and what I don't want to do is just read questions throughout the entire interview. I want to interact. Do you have some tips and some secrets that you use to have a really great interview and pull out the good stuff?
Yeah, 100%, 100%. So, you know, I'm still working on being a better interviewer, right? I think we all are. And I'm not trained. I'm not professionally trained by any means. And thank you for the kind words. I think for me, when I first started, what I did was I studied the best. I studied the greats. Oprah, Larry King. And what do they do? You know, watch a few interviews with some people that you admire and look at how they approach doing interviews. I think Stephen Bartlett is a fantastic interviewer. He's, you know, a big up and comer. So I think for me, when I studied those interviewers, I looked at how they held space. And for me, I'm just a genuinely curious person. So I always follow. Right. So I let people speak and then I try and unpack it from there. That's the number one thing that I'm always focusing on. I'm trying to listen so intently to try and be present. And then just if a question comes to me, I'll just be like, okay, well, I'd want to know that. And approach it from a genuine curiosity. And I just follow my gut, like just that genuine curiosity. When you're writing notes, that's where the magic is, right? And writing notes is fine. I used to do it for many, many years. I just don't do that much anymore. But that's the first thing, study the greats. The second thing is be genuinely curious and just follow your gut. Because when you get excited, because you want to be passionate about the subject matter and you want to be excited, you want to be genuinely curious. When you get excited and you write it down, that's the thing, that's the question you have to ask. I think the last thing is I always try and go deeper, right? So when somebody says something, you want to, if you can, go a little deeper. The best kind of interviews are the ones where you can have that person really open up, be vulnerable, as be like, not always, but vulnerability is a great thing. But then also try and find stories. Try and pull stories out of them. Stories is what sticks. And you'll notice that when you're interviewing me, I'm trying to tell crazy stories because that's what people remember. That's what keeps people listening. So look for stories and try and go that little bit deeper. You know, there's the concept of the five whys, right? Larry King, he's constantly like, why, 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 why? Keep going deeper, keep going deeper, keep going deeper. So you get an interview where there's depth. It's not surface level. And that's what makes an interesting interview from my perspective.
Oh, so very true. I've seen you in action and I see all of that unfolding. I love the advice, follow the greats, learn from the greats. I think that I could do more of that, just really seeing kind of where they take the conversation. What did they ask next and where did they go with that? I think that's really valuable for sure. I've got one more final question for you, and that is, you are in the digital space. You've got your digital magazine, you've got this whole media company, and you've got the courses and the podcast and all of that. Can you think of some online marketing strategies? Because obviously that's what this podcast is about and that's what people come here for. Online marketing strategies you've used over the last few years that have really moved the needle, whether it be it's brought on a lot of leads for you, it's brought a lot of sales, it's in boosted engagement, whatever it might be. What have you seen to work really well?
Yeah, okay. This is a good question because we've got a lot going on, Founder. I'll give you one thing that I think is a tried and tested method, and it's very relevant to your audience. And I did it in the early days of Founder. And I'll give you a story around why it was important and how we're doing it right now. So when I started Founder, and in the first 4 months, I got an interview with Richard Branson. Naturally, you would think that that is the best interview that I should still charge for it because it's part of the subscription. But then I heard this really, really interesting concept by a guy called Eben Pagan called moving the free line. So what I did was I actually made the Branson edition free. And I made it so good that I pasted it everywhere. Like, that was our number one lead magnet, Amy. I know you love lead magnets, right? And I just made it so good that I blew people away that it was our number one way of not only building our email list, building our subscriber list, but building the brand, because I was going out there and saying, get the free Founder Branson edition. And that's something that everyone listening to this podcast can do. Give away your best stuff for free. Now, that doesn't mean you give away full courses, or maybe it does. I don't know, right? But what can you do to give away something for free that is so good that you could charge for it to bring people into your business? So for us, as an example, we do the free magazine subscription. We don't even charge for it. And we probably would have spent well over $1 million producing this magazine over the past 10 years, maybe more. And we give it away for free. We have a free magazine subscription. Another offer that we're starting to test, is starting to get some legs, is a dollar trial, right? You can do a dollar trial. You can do a dollar trial for 7 days of Founder Plus, and you can just test it out. But it's like almost free, right? But it's an insane gift. And so that's what I'd want to leave your audience and community with. What can you create or what do you have in your business that is so good that you could usually charge for it and you give it away for free? And you feel even uncomfortable giving it away for free? That's when you know that it's going to bring in a lot of people to whatever channel, whether it's TikTok, whether it's Instagram, whether it's Facebook ads, whether it's your YouTube channel, whether it's your podcast. And that's a timeless one, which, you know, it sometimes takes a while to get reminded. Like, I did that back in the early days and we're starting to bring some of that back.
I love that you went old school with it, because I love Eben and I love everything he used to teach about that. So that's good stuff. My friend, this has been incredible. I always love chatting with you. I've learned a lot. I can't say that about every interview I do, but this one was very valuable. In my head, I was thinking, I need my team to listen to this one. This is important. So I appreciate you spending the time with me today. And where can people learn more about you, about Founder, about getting the magazine and into the courses and all of that? Where should they go?
Yeah, so you can just go to founder.com, and it's Founder without the E. Founder without the E, founder.com. If you'd like to try out our platform, if you've ever thought of starting a physical product business and you've always had a yearning to create a physical product, something physical that you can see, that you can hold, it's an incredible process. You can go to founder.com/trial where you can test out our dollar trial for 7 days. We'd love to have you a part of the community.
Wonderful. And we'll make sure to put links in our show notes as well. Thank you, my friend. It's always fun to talk to you. So thanks for being here.
You're welcome. Thank you so much for having me.
So there you have it. I think you'd agree that this conversation with Nathan was very inspiring. And I said this in the intro, but now do you know what I mean when I say I feel like every word he says holds weight? He just knows how to kind of cut through the fluff and just add immense value. I think it's really rare and very unique to him. So it was a true pleasure getting to know Nathan more and just hearing about his experiences of building such a successful company. My biggest takeaways were the secrets he shared for interviewing. That was really valuable for me. And also, I loved where he talked about situational stage advice. And essentially what I took away from that was know what season you're in. And then as you get advice, as you hear different podcasts about different things you should do and be doing and all of that, check yourself. What stage am I in? Am I in a stage that I am willing to obsess about this and maybe even do some hustling to get to where I want? Or am I past that stage right now and I want to focus on some other things to make sure I have a little bit more balance in my life? I think it's fair to say that knowing your stage and then taking in content and advice and guidance that way will allow you to stay true to who you are and where you want to go. I thought that was just really sage advice. So I hope you walk away from this episode feeling inspired. I know I sure have. And if there's something that you absolutely loved about this episode, I want to hear it. So you know I'm just at Amy Porterfield on Instagram. Send me a DM. Let me know your biggest takeaway from this really special interview. Thanks so much for tuning in, and I will see you next week, same time, same place. Bye for now. I wanted to tell you about a podcast that I know will not only get you motivated and inspired, but will actually help you grow your brand, your audience, and your revenue. It's a podcast from my very good friend, Julie Solomon, and it's called The Influencer Podcast, and it's a part of the Yap Media Network. So Julie is a best-selling author and a brand expert, and she's dedicated her entire career to helping entrepreneurs and creators like you tap into their next levels of visibility and impact so you can become the leader that you were born to be. If you're looking for actionable advice delivered directly to your earbuds, then get ready for coaching, interviews with some of the industry's biggest names, and transformations to enrich your personal brand and grow your business. You can discover why people all over the world have called this podcast their go-to for all things influence, impact, and brand growth for more than 6 years. Subscribe to the Influencer Podcast with Julie Solomon today on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, YouTube, or your favorite podcast platform.